Welcome to the Become Nomad podcast. Whether you're already a nomad or aspiring to become one, we're here to supply you with relevant information to help keep you on the road without totally losing it. I'm sending you my regards from Cluj-Napoca, a city in the east of, in the west actually, of Romania. I finally left Chisinau in Moldova, spent a week in Bucharest, which is a really cool city, the capital of Romania, and now I'm in Cluj. This week we're going to continue with episode 2 of what we've started before, about a case study of my digital nomad lifestyle rules, the rules that keep me on the road. How does it exactly look like? How do I do it? A quick reminder, those are not necessarily going to be good rules for you. The main goal over here is just to show you that if you're going to be on the road for a long time, it's better to get to know yourself and construct your own set of rules. And you might use some of the ones I'm using, hopefully. So last time we've talked about several items. For example, how do I pick my next base? How does it go with my home base? How frequently do I go there and so on? A description of my nomadic wave, my travel style or the slow travel, the lengths of stay, how do I decide if to go back to a place or not. And we basically stopped with the description of my weekends. So if you haven't heard this episode, it might be better for you to stop here, go back, listen to the first chapter, and then get back here. It's kind of a continuation. Yeah, let's basically start with the next topic. Just after the weekends, the fun part comes, the pressing part, the work days. Although I have to say that since I started the nomadic lifestyle, I'm a lot less depressed on work days. I think that since you start, especially since you're becoming an entrepreneur, there is a mix between work days and weekends, and this weekend feeling of happiness and the depression that follows when the work week starts kind of disappears, which is something kind of fun. One of the advantages of becoming a nomad and also of becoming an entrepreneur and working on your own things. And let's give you a quick brief of my work days. So as I mentioned before, I'm working Sunday to Thursday because of basically the week in Israel, which I'm still used to, and it's really hard to change habits. Sunday is a little bit of a problematic day for me because everyone else is resting and I'm working, which is kind of weird, but I find a nice place to work at, for example, Starbucks or something in this style. And then during the week, I'm going to be doing co-working. That would be Monday to Thursday. Sometimes I'm going to visit it also on Sunday if it's open, or on Friday if I have a lot of work for the first part of the day. And basically, that's it. The work days are sacred for me. I spend most of my time working and I avoid uncertainty, meaning I'm totally out of the nomadic mindset during the work days. I know where I'm going. I know where exactly I'm going to work at and so on and so on. And it helps a lot to keep me stable. So that's basically what's going on the work days. And one more thing to say is that I don't change my accommodation during the work days. So preferably on Sunday, I'm going to settle down in a new accommodation or going to keep on being in the same accommodation where I've been, at least until Friday. And Friday is the day where I change, but not before. During the work days, I don't want to be involved in a lot of uncertainty and changes. Okay, let's move on to another concept which I mentioned in the last time, which was the temporal bases. So last time we talked about the fixed bases. The fixed bases are the places where I stay for minimum 1 month, usually 2 months, and get some work done and feel at home, get my stability and everything and my routines. Now, in between fixed bases, I'm basically going to temporal bases. Temporal bases usually take no more than 1 week. The reason is that those bases, although they're great because they're new and allow me to see a new place a little bit deeper than just a weekend trip, they're also a little bit destabilizing, which means that I don't want to spend there more than 1 week. Usually on temporal bases, I try to find co-working as well, but it's not a must. I try to find those smaller towns that have a lot of nature, because usually the fixed bases are big cities. So having a temporal base that is really relaxed with a lot of nature is super fun. I try to avoid for the temporal bases the touristic spots, the shabby touristic spots and so on. Those are not doing me well, unless it's a romantic trip with a girlfriend, but usually it's not the case. So I'm trying to find authentic bases where I feel good with a lot of nature that are relaxed. As I said, it's going to be only a week. I need my routines, and also because it's going to be very hard to establish a social life, especially in a smaller place for if you're staying only for a week. So I kind of not really putting a lot of efforts on those fronts because I'm trying to build a social life only on the fixed bases. Where do I prefer to stay? I prefer to stay in basically in hostels that have a little bit of interaction, have my own room there, and have a garden. Especially if I don't have a co-working space, I notice that I can do work more effectively if I work close to nature. So have a garden, a place to sit is great. And of course, buy a data package in advance. I never go to a temporal base without having my SIM full on internet, because over here I can't really rely on co-working spaces, Wi-Fi, and I never know if I'm going to have good internet on the road. I mentioned before accommodation, hostel, because it's good to see people. It's probably going to be the only meeting point I have with people. So family hostels that have a lot of interaction makes sense for me when I'm in temporal bases. Let's move on to my routines and tasks in all the bases where I stay, but this mostly has to do with the fixed bases, those bases that I've stayed in for more than 1 month. So surprisingly or unsurprisingly, I have a crazy list of about 60 items, or I think about 45 items, basically check it out boxes that I try to accomplish in each base where I'm at. So some of them are super critical. For example, find a swimming pool. I love swimming. Or find a co-working space, a must. Or find my accommodation, or get a data package for my SIM. Download the map of the city, and so on and so on. So some of them are super critical. The others are more fun. Maybe try to find meetups and relevant events and so on and so on. It's a very long list. I try to kill it while staying in a base and really feel good if I leave a base and I have a really empty list. Of course, you never win because every time you have to fight a new list every time you move. But I just noticed that accomplishing those items makes me happy, so I'm trying to stick to the list as much as I can. One thing that comes to mind, additional factor when choosing the base, is the off-season and weather. So I've made a decision to avoid extreme temperatures. This is a kind of a recent decision, so I'm going to probably avoid seasons that have a lot of high temperature or a very low temperature. Why suffer if you're so mobile and you can choose wherever you want to be? And also, I like off-season more than top season. The reason is that the off-season is more authentic and it's a lot cheaper. So if it correlates with the weather, basically, because summer is the top season in every country mostly. So if it correlates with the weather, it's usually spring and autumn. Those are really good times to spend in a country, and has advantages of cost and feeling in general. Okay, I'm moving on to the section of what do I do with accommodation. So first of all, my preferred booking sites are for hostels. I use Hostelworld and Hostel Bookers. And for single rooms and double rooms, I find booking.com to provide great value. Recently I'm using a lot more Airbnb. and find great solution in a lot of interaction with locals. So this is also a great site. I don't use Couchsurfing because I feel like it's a little bit inappropriate to stay in people's houses while I work. So I'm only using Couchsurfing to meet new people, but not to get hosted. Moving on to hostel, dorm beds, and camping. So dorm beds are without a doubt the best economical option for solo traveler. I truly recommend it if you're just starting and you're on a budget. If you can spend the first period of your travel using dorms, you'll be better off economically, for sure. However, as time passes, because I've been traveling for a long time already, I currently limit my stay in dorms for weekends since they offer kind of low quality of sleep. You never know what's going to happen in the room, although it's totally okay and you can interact and meet a lot of friends. If you really need to work a day after, a dorm bed would not be a good solution for someone who has important work to do. Therefore, if I'm staying, I'm only staying on weekends. And then even if I don't get good sleep, nothing happens because I don't have to work the day after. I have to say that for dorm rooms, I prefer to book those in small villages because the people there are more sane. They're more fun. They came there to travel. In a big city, it's usually either party people or people that are working there long term. Sometimes people are not as nice as in the people who stay in dorm beds in villages. So I noticed that the more you stay in dorms in bigger cities, the more surprises might happen. Again, the surprises are not really bad, but they can take away a little bit of sleep from you, so you might want to avoid it. Now, let's talk about picking a private room in hostels or guest houses. So I noticed that there are basically two types of hostels and guest houses. The first one is the one I like. Those are the family ones, the family hostels. They're a little bit usually run down, not that economically sound and doing well, but they do offer good vibes, accountability, and some social interactions, especially with the owners. And this is really important. Now, I usually go for those, or I try to go for those, although spotting those is really tricky when you book a place and you don't really know if it's the family one or the factory hostels, okay? So the factory hostels are kind of shiny, artificial hostels which cater for a large mass of usually a younger crowd. Those make me feel a little bit out of place. I'm older, so I guess those are not the places for me anymore. I'm not saying that the factory hostels are definitely bad ones. I'm just saying that for me, they're no longer working. Some of them are strictly party hostels. You can check it out by the name. Party Hostel Budapest, for example. That would not be a place for a digital nomad who is working to go to. You're probably not going to get a lot of sleep. The other type of the factory hostels are kind of functional, cold, with no interaction, kind of sleep cities for workers with low budget. You're not likely to talk to anyone there. So I try to avoid those as well. So again, I come back to the point of I really prefer to stay in the family hostels or guest houses. How do you identify them while booking in a booking site? Kind of tough, but usually they have less reviews than the average ones. The party hostels, the factory hostels are going to have hundreds of reviews. The family ones are going to be with lesser reviews. They're actually rated less than average, lower than average or right about average. Again, factory hostels are not necessarily bad. Some people opt for them. They're the best solution if you want to party, know new people, feel like you're in a really cool place. But that's why they're rated quite high. The family ones are going to be rated a little bit lower. People find them a little bit dull and so on. But those are the ones I like. You can see by the reviews how much interaction do you have with the owners. Is it a special place? Yes or no? And I pick those special places. Now, moving on to picking the right shared apartment. So, regardless of being expensive, I prefer to totally avoid having an apartment for myself. I need the accountability and the social interaction that flatmates allow me. So I try to find always, I would actually pay more for a place where I would have a room with other people, meaning I would have my own room, but the flat would have roommates, than to stay in an apartment by myself. That's part of my psychology. I will only rent an apartment for myself if I have a visitor for long term or I'm in a relationship. But other than that, I'm always going to rent a shared apartment. Basically, I use Airbnb to locate those places. Airbnb for a month is always going to be cheaper than renting or your own room in a hostel for a month, by definition. Usually, I try to... You can find really nice deals on Airbnb if you search for a period of a month. I would just say that because of the risk of, you know, not hitting it off with the owners of the apartment or feeling that you're not really wanted, I would try, if I book for a month, to go to the apartment in advance, check it out, talk to the owner, feel like I have good vibes with them, and only then book the apartment. Now, when I go to check out the apartment, I have to say, on Airbnb, sometimes I book for 3 or 4 days in the temporal basis. Of course, I don't do that because I'm saying, okay, worst case scenario, I will not have the best 3 or 4 days, but it's still going to be okay for in a month. I don't want to take a risk on an entire month. So when I do rent a shared apartment for a month, I'm talking to the owners and I'm also trying to figure out the major friction point that might occur that were cool on them. For example, it has to do with, is there a common working space I can use? Is there a kitchen I can use? Can I do the laundry? Can I bring visitors? And how good is the internet? You can check it in advance. Every time I go into a place, I do an internet check of the speed. So in general, I would just say that if I stay for an extended period of a month in a place, I try to make sure that I'm going to be treated as a regular flatmate and less as a guest, because you don't want to feel like a guest for 1 month. It's a little bit too much. Okay, moving on to the preferred location of my accommodation. So I always check if I can find accommodation actually in a village or in the outskirts of the city. That's where the city ends and becomes a lot more green. And I like it because I have the nature, and at the same time, it's important for me that it's going to be easy for me to travel from the place where I stay, either a village close to the city or the outskirts, to the city itself where the co-working space is located. I have to say that as a general rule, I try to avoid city centers. City centers are kind of touristic, usually a lot more expensive, non-authentic. So if I stay for 1 month, I actually prefer to stay a little bit far away from the city center. It's going to be also a lot cheaper. Moving on to the last items, which is basically the personal rules that I have in any accommodation that I pick, regardless of what this accommodation is. Those are rules that have nothing to do with the nomadic lifestyle, but I still comply with them to make myself happy. So the first rule is, and I've discussed this rule, is not to spend Friday nights where I stay during the week. So I want to stay in a totally new place on Friday night, and that makes my weekend an amazing weekend. So Friday nights out of my regular base are kind of a must. Other than that, I have two general life rules that keep me kind of balanced and connected. The first one is that I'm turning off my screens, whatever screens that you know of, for example, the iPad, the phone and the computer at 11 p.m., and the second one is that I never turn on the screens in the morning before I leave home. Those are two rules that are really keeping me from wasting hours of doing stupid stuff like watching YouTube, and get me outside of the apartment early in the morning so I can start fresh and early. And then those are basically the rules. So now, you know everything and you can get on the road yourselves. You have all this post in the blog in becomenomad.com. It's going to be just in front of your eyes as the recent post of a case study of my digital nomad lifestyle rules. And it would be great if you can rate the podcast with 5 stars. And if you're interested in receiving monthly newsletter, then just subscribe by going to Become Nomad. Hope this was valuable for you, and have an amazing week.